Here now, the reading from the epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all peoples most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. This ends the reading from the epistle. Well, again this week we are straying from the lectionary. This time because I learned last week that the Sunday school class was taking a look at the encounter between the disciples on the road to Emmaus and Jesus. And since that's one of the traditional readings for the Sunday after Easter, I decided that we would look further into that, since you were all prepared to receive a new revelation. The lectionary gospel for this week was really the appearance of Jesus to the 10 locked behind closed doors, the 10, that being the 12 minus Judas and Thomas. And then it continues with the following week, Jesus appearing to the 11, Thomas being with them. This story that we read this morning has much in common with the appearance to the disciples behind locked doors, and both bring important aspects of what happened that Easter day to our mind. The Gospels give three accounts of appearances of Jesus that first Easter day, before he appeared to the 11 that Easter evening. Matthew tells us that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Actually, there were several other Marys that get listed in that story, but one of the other Marys. In John, we read of an appearance only to Mary Magdalene. That's the passage that we read last week on Easter morning when Jesus appeared to her in the garden. And then here in Luke, the appearance to two unnamed disciples who were not members of the 12, but evidently were close followers of Jesus, as Jesus appeared to them on the way to Emmaus. One of the interesting details of two of these three appearances is that the disciples, Mary Magdalene and John, and these two unnamed disciples in Luke, did not recognize Jesus when they saw him. Now, there's been much speculation about how it would be possible for those who had known Jesus best and loved him most dearly not to recognize him just 3 days after the crucifixion. Lois has been reading an account that says when people go through a traumatic event, that they really appear differently, and that frequently they have a different appearance even to those who knew them. So perhaps Jesus' resurrection body had in some way been transformed. We're given great details about the angels or young men that were found in or around the tomb, but no physical description of Jesus, except his admonition to Mary not to hold on to him because he had not yet ascended, and later his invitation to his disciples to see the scars in his hands and side and to touch him, but no real physical description. By far the most popular explanation for their failure to recognize him was that they simply did not expect to see him. And when they did not expect it to be him, they did not recognize him. Whatever happened that first Easter day, I think that it is true that far too often we see what we expect to see. I have to tell you the story I've told you before, but when I was taking a clinical pastoral education class, we were shown a video, and we were told to watch this basketball game. And we were to count how many times Members of the team dressed in white passed the ball to other members of the team dressed in white. And we came up with a wide variety of answers, and none of them, I think, were really correct. But what we hadn't noticed, that we saw when we watched the film the second time, was that among those players who were dressed in black, there was a gorilla that none of us had seen in our original viewing. Because we didn't expect to see a gorilla, and we weren't looking for the players dressed in black. We were watching what we wanted to watch. And so, as Paul Simon said in one of my favorite Paul Simon lyrics, a man just sees what he wants to see and disregards the rest. Often, when we look at people, we see what we expect to see, or what we want to see. This is called profiling. I know that's a highly charged word, but we all do it. We all make assumptions about people, first impressions that impact on how we see them, and oftentimes how seriously we take them. A study was done many years ago now, back when I was in college, and when dinosaurs roamed the earth. In this study, two speakers were brought in to address a class of college freshmen. The first was dressed in a suit and tie and was introduced as a visiting professor from a neighboring university. The second came in a polo shirt and was introduced as a teaching assistant from one of the other departments in the college. The class sat through the two lectures and then were asked their impressions, and they all said that they thought that the first speaker had a firmer grasp on the material. And when asked about physical appearance, they reported that the first one seemed to be considerably taller, even though the two were of exactly the same stature. We see what we want to see, what we expect to see, and we hear what we want to hear. Now, these assumptions are not always a bad thing. Again, in college, way back in the day, I did a pastoral care internship at a Roman Catholic hospital. I was the only Protestant and the only male in an office. One day a man walked in and announced that he was there on an inspection tour of the hospital. He was sent by the Vatican. He introduced himself as Cardinal Leiniger. Now, one of the nuns became very nervous and concerned that we had not been forewarned and were not prepared for such an inspection, and she began to scurry about in a nervous frenzy. Sister Jean, our supervisor, cautioned her not to get too upset, to relax, that perhaps this wasn't what it appeared, and that maybe we should call security. Now, it may not be a fair assumption to assume that every man who wanders into a hospital wearing bedroom slippers is not an emissary of the Holy Father. But it is something to take into consideration when we react to this person. So Sister Anne continued scouring the list of cardinals to see if there really was a Cardinal Leiniger, while Sister Jean waited for security and offered the man a cup of coffee. But while we all do it, sometimes we discount others by our assumptions about them, and we can miss something that's very important. Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, the two on the road, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's the things that have taken place these days? And in Mark's gospel, we read that when Mary, a woman, reported to the 11 that she had seen Jesus, they would not believe her. They considered it an idle tale. We are living in a world where there is little exchange of ideas. We know what we believe, and we have little interest in listening to someone who sees things differently. Jesus was crucified, dead, and was buried, and no woman's going to tell me he's alive. It's sometimes said, I don't want to hear any facts. I already know what I believe. We Christians are little better than the rest of the world in this regard. Not only are we slow to listen to our Muslim and Buddhist brothers and sisters, but we're also slow to learn from our own Jewish roots and even from Christians of other persuasions. I was part of a discussion following a Bible study at a previous church on the subject of school prayer. I said that my concern was, where would the prayers come from? Who would write and offer the prayer? Would it be one of the students? Would it be the teacher? And what would happen if they came from a very different perspective, or if they came from no faith background at all? It was just their turn. And one of the women who was a strong proponent of the prayer said, well, the prayer would have to be prepared ahead of time, and it would have to be approved. And I said, well, who would approve such a prayer? The only group I can think of would be someone like the National Council of Churches could put out these prayers. She responded with great vehemence, I'd not have my children pray any prayer that those people came up with. We don't listen to each other. When we know where someone is coming from, we too often simply discount them. Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest and a professor emeritus from Piedmont College, who's one of the most prolific Christian writers of our era, wrote a book entitled Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others. She tells of a Christian teaching a college class on world religions who found a whole new perspective on her own faith through the faith of others. She writes, and here I quote, she always promised her students that studying other faiths would not make them lose their own, but she lost hers, or at least the one she started out with. When I was in counseling during the breakup of my first marriage, I told my pastoral counselor that my wife said that going to seminary had caused me to lose my faith. He responded very calmly, much to my chagrin, well, she's probably right. I said, what do you mean? I didn't lose my faith. My faith is more important to me now than ever. He says, yes, but it's changed. That's what happens when you learn and explore. You grow and you replace what you started out with something different. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb expecting to find the body of the dead Jesus. What she found was something new. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were leaving Jerusalem. For them, the experience of Jesus had ended in defeat, and it was over. They were going back to life the way it had been before. Nothing was really different. But when Jesus opened the scriptures to them and was seen to them in the breaking of bread, everything was changed. Their faith had been made new, more real, more vibrant, more important, because they had grown. We are told that where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, he is there among us. We hear that a lot. We probably have all said that, but we very seldom read that in context. Listen to the verses before that very popular phrase. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, "It will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you." It's true that when we gather two or three together, the Spirit of the risen Christ is with us. But when we're all alone, the Spirit of the risen Christ is with us. What this passage is about is the power of our shared community. When we are, where two or three are gathered together, there is greater wisdom, there is greater maturity, there is greater strength, and the power to do things that we could not do alone. But that only happens when we gather together and when we're willing to listen to one another. Most of the time, we are not there yet. That's why the title of this sermon, which I changed already once, is "We Are Still Unable to See Jesus." Because most of the time, we don't listen to the stranger. We don't look at the gardener to see the face of Jesus in someone we don't expect to see. We are so closed in by, to ourselves that we do not change and we do not find something new. It is written in the Desiderata, "Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story." When we listen to others, we grow. We may leave something behind that we started out with, but we are drawn closer to God. For where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, the Spirit of the risen Christ is there among us. The power to change. When our eyes are open and our hearts are open, then we are ready to see Jesus. I don't think we're there yet most of the time. In a gardener, in a stranger, perhaps where we least expect him, the risen Christ may open our eyes and we might grow in our faith. But we have some work to do. We have to be ready to hear what others have to say beforehand. We will not agree with them. And we have to be ready to see Jesus in the face of someone where we might least expect to find him. Amen.